Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi folks, welcome along to another episode of Soundtracking with me, Edith Bowman. It's lovely to have you with us. Thank you for choosing to listen to this episode, whether you've just found us and this is your first step into our world, or welcome back if you are a regular listener. We really appreciate your attention and we hope that you enjoy listening to the podcast as much as we do making it. We've been going for nearly 7 years now, actually. So coming up in August, it's going to be 7 years since we launched the podcast. And I think I probably speak for both of us. That's Ben and I, who kind of started this podcast and continue to work on it. Thank you, Ben, as always. But I don't think we ever thought when we started it back then that we would still be doing this. And over those 7 years, I think we've only missed two episodes, which is kind of crazy, but brilliant. And we're so proud of it and we love making it, and long may it continue. We also love when we get the chance to speak to people for the first time, or whether it's artists, creatives that I've had the chance to do other things with and bring them onto the podcast. And we also love the fact that we are, you know, we build relationships with brands and things as well, who really see what we're trying to do, and that collaboration really works because they're driven by creativity as well. And that's very much the case with this week's episode, because we've got a bonus episode of Soundtracking today brought to you by our very good friends at BMW, marking the release of Wolverine and Deadpool. For the past 6 years, BMW have worked incredibly closely with British GQ magazine to help celebrate heroic figures who shape society, culminating in the wonderful GQ Hero Summit, which happens once a year in the beautiful Oxfordshire countryside. It's a few days where the world's most interesting and inspiring minds, game changers and radical creatives come together to share big ideas with a very small and intimate group of people. We were extremely honoured to be asked back this year, not only to listen to legends of the entertainment industry, design icons, activists and so much more, but also catch up with the trailblazing talent that is Emma Corrin. As of yesterday, Emma can be seen playing the role of Cassandra Nova in Deadpool and Wolverine, which is on general release now. Now, Emma's someone who uses their platform as a voice for so many, in turn giving people the strength to find their own voice. And this was all the more special for me, as I was lucky enough to have conducted their first ever interview months before anyone had seen them play the role that catapulted them into television screens around the world, a young Princess Diana in the Crown. So we're thrilled that BMW and GQ gave us this opportunity to talk music with Emma, and given their latest role, we'll begin with Rob Simonson's Wolverine and Deadpool theme. This is great because I get to talk to you about music.
I know.
Also, it's nice to see you.
It's lovely to see you. It's lovely to see you.
We go way back.
I know. It's so nice. I kind of think, I don't know, kind of where it started for me with The Crown.
Well, it's been joyous to watch your journey. It really, really has. Let's start with Deadpool, if that's all right, because it's the most kind of one that's on everyone's lips. I saw 45 minutes of it yesterday, and my cheeks are still sore from laughing and smiling.
It's good, isn't it?
Oh, it's great. You've seen it?
I've seen it, yeah. And as I just said, I'm in it little enough that I can actually really sit and enjoy the whole thing.
Cassandra, from what I saw, fun character to kind of get into and also just stepping into that world of the Marvel universe.
Really fun. Yeah. Complete liability and don't really know, never know what she's going to do. And that was really fun to play with. Yeah.
What is it like kind of being the door opening on that world and kind of stepping in?
Crazy. Also, because I will admit that I don't have a huge history of being a Marvel buff particularly. I didn't grow up watching those films.
Yeah.
And I'm now sort of, it's so piqued my interest. I think the world is, and how everything is interconnected, is just extraordinary. And it's such a beautiful way to storytell. And it's so beautiful to also hear about the hundreds and thousands of people who have grown up with it and like have so much emotional investment in all of these characters' lives. So it was really like a door opening in this huge universe being on the other side of it. And it's been really great to learn about it.
Well, even in those kind of first few minutes, before we even see Cassandra, you've got this kind of almost jukebox of music that's thrown at the film. On set, was there music played at all? Because it has such musicality to it, like even when you're watching it, that you kind of feel like, it almost kind of feels like it was shot with all that playing. But I know that wasn't the case. But
it wasn't actually. No, we didn't have music, did we? There was one scene where we had some emotional music where Hugh and I have an emotional scene together. And Sean, I think he put some music behind it to help the mood and sort of give. And Sean's one of those directors who has no qualms in doing that kind of thing, which you can really tell from the film. Like, you've got to be a risk taker and you've got to be like to really give in and use all the bangers we know and love.
Absolutely. I mean, so I'm sure NSYNC, that Bye Bye Bye, I'm relearning the dance.
I know.
Immediately for that.
I mean, it's such a good shout. It's that kind of like real give the people what they want.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and absolutely.
You really do feel suddenly infected with that huge spark of joy when you're watching it, because all those songs come with so much nostalgia for so many people.
Factor as a tool for you in any way with your craft, you know, when you're prepping for roles or you're thinking about characters and backstory and where they are, do you ever kind of reach for music to kind of help with that at all?
Not specifically. I don't sort of, I've never been sort of prepared enough to, or I don't know.
It's a different way of preparing.
of preparing. I've never sort of sat down and made a playlist for a character, but I think I can always pinpoint the different characters I played to different times where I was in my life. And it's almost like when I think back to a character, I can like see my Spotify Wrapped in my head or hear my Spotify Wrapped from, but it will be a blend of Emma and that character at that point. It won't be specifically that character. And I actually, before I came to see you, I remember that Ryan texted me just before we started shooting and said, could you make a playlist for me of 10 songs you want to see in this movie?
Oh, wow.
Even just as a feeling of like what your...
For the character or for...
Both, the whole thing.
Wow.
Not that he'd use them, but he was just like, I want to like put them all in a massive playlist for us so that everyone's... Yeah, so I could read you my 10 songs.
Yes, please.
It's quite eclectic. So my first one was True, Spandau Ballet.
Oh.
Which is a great one. And then Believe, Cher, which is one of my favorite songs ever. Yeah. And random entry, When I Grow Up from Matilda the Musical.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
I kind of like that though.
But I think that was kind of a Cassandra, When I Grow Up, the trapped kid, the trapped twin sister who's never been recognized sort of in this.
Yeah, absolutely. And kind of having that person that you kind of like aspire to be.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
When I grow up, I will be tall enough to reach the branches that I need to reach to climb the trees you get to climb when you're grown up. And when I grow up, I will be smart enough to answer all the questions that you need to know the answers to before you're grown up. And when I grow up, I will eat sweets every day on the way to work, and I will go to bed late every night. And I will wake up when the sun comes up, and I will watch cartoons until my eyes go square, and I won't care, 'cause I'll be all grown up when I grow up.
Seabird by the Alessi Brothers. And I will say that song is always on every single playlist, character playlist or anything that I make. It's like my
Seabird.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
I know.
Why do you think that is?
One of the first plays I did at uni was directed by someone who's now my best friend called Avi. She put the song in the play that we did and I just loved it. And it was so much the beating heart of that play. Hmm. Our three characters on stage had this huge like dancing, sort of losing ourselves moment to it. And I just love it. It's one of those songs that no matter what mood I'm in, it can be a sad song, it can be a happy song, it can be a thoughtful song. So that's always on a playlist.
That's like a companion. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
There's a road I know I must go, even though I tell myself that road is closed. Listen, lonely seabird, you've been away from land too long, far too long.
Cranberries, which I think should be in every film.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I just got into a bit of a revisiting of the Cranberries.
So good.
Zombie as well.
Oh, so good. Oh,
I mean, just lets everything out, that song, doesn't
everything,
it?
Everything, yeah.
It's like an exorcism almost after singing along with that
song. I know. It's so full of hope for me, that song.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love it.
I'm not afraid to die.
Collins, A Dream of You and Me.
Great.
It's a great one. Then I've got Miserere, that like...
I don't know
the,
that.
The like choir song Allegri. And George Michael, A Different Corner, which I was...
They're all quite emotional.
Very emotional songs. I didn't know what I was going through when I put this together. And then I've got Operator, He Doesn't Call Me, which actually I can really see being in that film because it's quite an ironic like disco song, isn't it? Operator, give me
information. My heart's been hit time way too many times. Wrong numbers fill my blind. Watch the spinning dials. You can measure my pressure, but I'll open a second. Character Darby that you played. I mean, that's a really interesting thinking about that in terms of talking about how music is such a for an audience, an emotional starting point or a tonal starting point. The first thing we see is Darby with headphones on and that Doors track is playing the end. And that's kind of like almost immediately, it sets you as a viewer in a, okay,
in a world.
In a world.
Yeah.
And then when you realize when she takes the headphones off that it's what she's been listening to, you're like, ah, okay, that's her choice.
Yeah.
So then you're already in a kind of like, ooh, it's a brilliant pool.
It's in her head, like, this is this person. It tells you so much about a character before a character's even uttered her first words.
Yeah. Did you know that piece of music was going to be that?
I think so. I think that was in the script.
Because that's important.
Yeah.
Because you have to fit that, you know, you have to fit the tone of that music.
Yeah, totally. This is the end. Beautiful friend, this is the end, my only friend, the end of our elaborate plans, the end of everything that stands, the end, no safety or surprise. I'll never look into your eyes again. I think that a lot of the music choices for A Murder at the End of the World were written into the script, and it really helped paint this sort of, the picture of this character. And I loved how her music taste was the Doors, and then there was definitely some more like punk, Grimes type stuff on there, and then... You know, there was Annie Lennox. Yeah. And I love that because it's realistic. Like someone, I always hate the question, like, what's your taste in music? What music do you like? I'm sure people can. There are some people who can answer that specifically. And that's great. I'm not one of those people.
Yeah, me neither.
I have no idea. I think mine is completely on a scale of Annie Lennox to the polar opposite of Annie Lennox. And I really loved that Darby had that in her.
also that book, because I mean the music in that show was extraordinary. I just really love when you can tell that the creatives have got such a, they appreciate what music can do for a show, you know, in terms of elevation and, yeah, and relationship, and that Frank Ocean, you know,
the Frank Ocean one, that one they played over the scene.
Yeah,
yeah, that, and that was really, really made such a difference to me, that being played in the background. And it was a beautiful moment and so heartbreaking. Yeah,
that helps. That must help when you, when they've done that work of clearing the tracks ahead of time so that it can, yeah, be placed in that scene.
Well, I remember they hadn't, and then there was a moment at the end when it was, we were, they were sort of doing the final edit and whatever, that they got in touch and said, "You don't happen to know Frank Ocean, do you? Because we can't get this track cleared." And I had such a huge reaction to it because I was like, "Oh my god, I don't know." I was devastated by the thought that that might not be in the cut. I think because of the emotional link I felt to it, having shot that scene with it in the background, and also it just was the perfect song. I couldn't imagine anything else that could have underlaid that scene. But we got it.
You got it.
It was, yeah.
Just a quick text to Frank.
No, not through me. I was actually of no use. I was like, "You're coming to the wrong person."
1, 2.
I'm crossing you in style.
Someday, day. Watch make a my heart break up. Wherever you're going, I'm going that way.
Someone that you do have a beautiful relationship is Little Sims, who absolutely owned Glastonbury. It makes me want to cry thinking about it.
It made me want to cry. I wanted to cry when I woke up that day. She's become such a fantastic friend, and I'm just so proud of her. Mm. And I think she's so singular in what she does.
Yeah.
And she is a poet to the very nth degree and definition of what a poet is. These words, this music comes like from within her, and it's just the most beautiful thing to watch. And having been in the studio with her a couple of times, working with her on stuff, it's such an honor to be able to see. And then I guess, yeah, I've known her for what, three years now, I guess. And even over that time, from when I met her and then now, watching her, I was with her mum and her sister, watching her backstage at Glastonbury and just looking into that field that just goes on and on and on. You know that view, and it's unbelievable. I've never had a feeling like that. I can't imagine how she felt.
She made it so personal. In terms of, you felt like she was just performing for you, even though you were in a crowd of 100,000 people or whatever.
Yeah.
And to absolutely own that stage in the way that she did, I've never seen an artist of, you know, with that kind of minimal setup, own it in the way that she did. Yeah. It was just extraordinary. It was just beautiful.
I think it's just pure truth.
Yeah.
She is the epitome of what it is to be genuine as an artist.
Yeah. What's it like being in a studio with her?
It's unbelievable. It's A, the most chill environment in the world, and B, it'll just be like she'll have prepared some stuff and written some stuff for you, mm-hmm, to say or whatever, and then you'll do that a couple times, and then suddenly she'll be like, "Okay, just wait there, I'm just going to write some more stuff," and you're like, "Oh, what?" Like, imagine having that, a brain and an amazing mind that can just do that and be so connected to your feeling and be so confident in it as well. It's so beautiful.
I'd like to see her on screen. I don't know if she's got any kind of aspirations to do any more acting. I know she's done a little bit, but
Top
just
Boy,
in terms,
she's so
of,
fantastic in.
I think she's got that performance element in her.
I think
she's
just like, she's a storyteller across so many different mediums.
One of the, I was thinking about chatting to you today, and I was remembering our very first conversation that we had in that tiny wee studio of Old Street, was that music was part of the conversation that we had back then, because for Diana, you had that extraordinary scene, you know, of kind of performance art, really, you know, as this character of her unleashing so much, being supported by Ben Caron through that entire scene.
And that was Believe, that I played Believe.
Yeah,
here we go. And they couldn't clear the rights to it. Or I think there was something in when that was released and when that scene, the year that scene would have been, she would have been doing that dance. But I remember I did this one take and they blast Believe out of the speakers. Ben was like, "Emma, that was amazing. That was fantastic. We really don't want to have to do it again, but you were mouthing every single word." So ultimately, we will have to do it again. And I kicked myself because it's so hard to capture that energy again. But yeah, you're right. So much music in my Season of the Crown.
Oh,
lovely to hear them embrace that, actually. It had to be, I think, in terms of because of that era of moving into it and making it more contemporary and stuff. I got very excited as well last week seeing the trailer for Robert Eggers' new film, which I never can pronounce properly.
Nosferatu.
I love his films.
I know.
What was that experience
he's
like?
He's a magician. He's magic. He's another person who's just so at one with their craft and what they do and so has such a singular vision. It was a huge honour to work with him and to get to know him and the way he works. It's like a masterclass working with an auteur like that. Yeah. And I'm trying to think if we had any music involved in that. I don't think he did play anything over any scenes, but I remember he gave me this sort of, I always used the word Bible, but it was like a few A4 pages of information about my character, which given that she wasn't a main character was, I couldn't believe like the detail of thought that had gone into it. And I found it so impressive. But I remember one of the things it said in there was, in this story, my character's married and Lily's character comes to stay, Ellen comes to stay with Anna, my character and her husband. And Rob had been really, really gone into, put a lot of thought into me and my husband's relationship, down to the fact that he was like, this is the song that they was playing at the waltz they were at when they first met. I can't remember what it was.
Wow.
It was some like a classical piece of music.
Yeah.
It was amazing. So then I played that and it does just get into your bones a bit. And in turn, especially when you're dealing with that kind of period piece, it kind of, you know, the way you hold yourself, the way you gesture, having that piece of music in mind does add something.
Yeah, because I guess it's that thing where that's all that was available, that, you know, in that era of kind of, you know, it's great that we can go back and listen to it now, sort of thing, but to place yourself in that era, music's almost like a great sort of time machine in a way to take you into that. That's so fascinating. It's so exciting seeing your choices as well and where you go. It feels like you're playing, that you're having fun.
I am playing.
And you're, you know, in the theatre as well and how important that is to you. What would you say is the thing that drives your choices to what you're saying yes to or what you're interested in pursuing?
I think playing is a great word to use, actually. I think, you know, you can get quite sidetracked by this idea of like, or daunted by the fact that careers are long and the choices you make are so important. And ultimately, I think you always need to find that balance of just really wanting to do what you're doing.
Yeah.
And not stopping yourself if you find a script that you really love, even if it might be similar to something you've done. Like, just feel, making sure, as long as you have that connection to the character and the story, and you feel like you really want to play with this part. But I think certainly in the last few months, I've really been feeling a drawback to theatre. There's something in that world that I just really miss. I feel like it's sort of like an MOT. You need to go back in and get like, put in a rehearsal room and reset. I love that environment so much.
I guess it's a part of that as well must be that idea that every night you get to do it differently, or you get to, every performance is different in a way. That's a beautiful luxury as an actor.
Yeah, it's so
but
much
terrifying.
Fun. Really terrifying, but right, a real luxury. And also, yeah, that environment in a rehearsal room, the community of people that you get to know. And I feel like I never learn more than when I'm in a rehearsal room.
Yeah. Can I finish by asking for some recommendations? Because I love how you really use your voice really beautifully to promote stuff, you know, whether it's great documentaries whether it's, are there a couple of film recommendations you can pass on to people that if they maybe not seen, had the chance to watch, whether it's, you know, streaming or whatever, that you go, this is something I'd really love people to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. I just finished a series called Colin from Accounts.
Oh, I've heard about this.
Two of my friends were like emphatically telling me to watch it. And I was like, yeah. And then finally watched it. And I just sent messages saying, I'm so sorry. I can't apologize enough that I snoozed on this for so long. It is so funny, so heartwarming. You'll binge it in. Just like, I would say don't resist the urge to binge it in like 2 days. Just let yourself have some time with it. It's so sweet and funny. One of the best films I watched in the last year was a film called The Eight Mountains, set in Italy.
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly who directed it, which is terrible.
But we can find out.
It was one of the best films I watched. It was beautiful, about two friends who meet when they're children in this remote Italian town, and then it follows them over to when they're older men and their relationship and their friendship and how life changes. And
And
that was really beautiful.
Is there a soundtrack that you go back to again and again and again, whether that is score or whether it's like a soundtrack that's just a collection of
songs? You know
songs?
What? I was in New York filming A Murder at the End of the World, and my friend Alex Lawther was playing Hamlet in Rob Icke's Hamlet.
Yeah.
And it was the same version that Andrew Scott had been in the UK, but then Alex took it over to Broadway. And I don't know if this is the case for the UK one. I imagine it was. I didn't catch it in London, but they scored the whole thing to Bob Dylan's B-sides, which I thought was the most incredible use of music. Wow. And really brave and bold to score a Shakespeare play entirely and one of that length.
Yeah.
And one of that popularity with a really like, that's like a bold decision to make. And Alex sent me the playlist. I can send it to you. It's so beautiful. And it's all of these tracks that I didn't know. I'm not a massive, I love Bob Dylan, but I have never gone like back and back into his discography. Yeah. But it was like, what's that? Water, something on the water. And then it's not dark yet.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was really beautiful. And so I always return to that. Yeah, because nice. I find it really cinematic and yeah.
Great recommendations.
Thanks.
Listen, it's great to chat to you. I can't wait to watch the rest of Deadpool. And I'm really excited about Nosferatu.
Nosferatu, yeah.
Yes, I got it right.
Yeah. You smashed it.
Emma, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been such a joy.
Thank you.
Spirit on the water, darkness on the face of the deep. I keep thinking about you, baby, and I can't hardly sleep. I'm traveling by land, traveling through the dawn of the day. You're always on my mind. I can't stay away.
As featured in the aforementioned production of Hamlet, that Spirit of the Water by Bob Dylan, rounding off this latest episode of Soundtrackin' with the wonderful Emma Corrin. My huge thanks to Emma and also her team, in particular Pan, for helping us sort that out. Emma, we are so grateful that you took the time to talk to us. Deadpool and Wolverine is in cinemas now and I really can't wait to watch the rest of it with my boys. Thanks again to BMW for making this bonus episode possible. What was particularly exciting about being at the GQ Heroes was the chance to see BMW's continued collaboration with the arts, storytelling and culture through new vehicles and innovation. Take, for instance, the one-of-a-kind BMW iFlow Nosticana, which combines colour-changing e-ink technology developed by Dr. Stella Clark at BMW and the aesthetic style of South African Dibeli artist Esther Malangu, creator of one of the original BMW art cars. We've discussed the MCU on plenty of occasions on Soundtrack, and you can search for all those episodes at edithbowman.com. Follow us on your socials, we're at SoundtrackinUK, and please subscribe both to the podcast and to our YouTube channel, which is Soundtrackin Extra, and we are sticking loads of extra content up there as we speak, so please do go and check it out. Join me next week for another beautiful celebratory conversation about the wonderful relationship between film and music. I very much look forward to the pleasure of your company then.
Has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Power up fall projects with Ego at Lowe's. Every tool delivers power beyond belief. So whether it's leaves, limbs, or lawn cleanup, count on Ego to deliver the power, performance, and innovation you need. And now for a limited time, save up to $60 on select blowers, chainsaws, and pole saws. Shop Ego today at Lowe's. Offers valid through 10/1 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.